before I pray about my teaching, I just want to say for those who are sitting looking right now, and some of the husbands are elbowing the wives maybe elbowing the husband, and they're going, did he do something with his hair color? It looks kind of like Donald Trump's color. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to make hair great again. And for those who don't like what it looks like, I'm going to build a wall. And I'll teach behind the wall. And you're going to pay for it. You're going to... Do I need to say any more? Is that good? Is that good? Laughter is medicine to the soul, and I just thank Yahweh that he has given me the opportunity to make people laugh. This message that I'm going to share with you is not about laughter. It's about where we're going to spend eternity. Let's pray. Yahweh Elohim, I just come before you as a messenger. I come before you as a broken man who you have brought to a place. And now allow me to process everything that you're teaching me so that I can share and hope that someone has an ear to hear. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to give me the strength and the courage and the wisdom to continue to say what you asked me to say today in your precious Son Yeshua's name, I pray. Leah, wow. I got right here in Revelation about that door being opened. And then I have later on in Revelation, a couple of scriptures later, where John is invited to come up and see what all this hype is about in heaven. One thing that he had against the church of us, he said, I have this charge against you, that if you have walked away from your first love. And I remember my first love, the day that I got saved. I remember walking into a Bible study where they were using a name, and the name was Jesus. And I remember learning as a Catholic that he was equivalent to Mary, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit was always right here. That was the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing. And I remember my wife getting saved on a Sunday. Yeah, on a Sunday, believe it or not, on a Sunday. And I remember her telling me her experience. And I remember her telling me that she is going to go to a Bible study on a Wednesday night. And this is when Jimmy Swaggart and all that crazy stuff was going on. The two teachers were, Assemblies of God were arguing, Marvin Garman, and it wasn't a time to get saved. It wasn't a cool time to be born again. Because these born again guys were cuckoo and were doing some crazy, crazy things. All in the name of Jesus. And I remember walking into that room, curious about where she's going and who she's going to see. Because I wasn't really convinced that she got saved. Born again. And I remember walking into that room, and I remember the first guy that I ran into was in a wheelchair, and his name was Jay Brassett. And the last time I saw Jay was in a nightclub in New Orleans where I was working, and he was partying, 6'2", good-looking guy. And then weeks later, I found out that Jay got into an argument, which led to a fight, which led to this guy body slamming him and him being paralyzed from his neck down, coming this close to death. And I remember walking down this little skinny hall, and I remember going past this wheelchair like that, trying to find out where my wife was. And she was in there with some crazy people, singing some songs that I was not, speaking in tongues or the Holy Spirit, which offends a lot of people. And I remember walking past him, and I remember looking back saying, excuse me, and I recognized the face. It was much skinnier, and I remember he had a trach that had been healed. He had a little piece of cloth over it, and it was closing. And he said, Morgan, and his hands were wrapped with two scarves because he was paralyzed from his neck down, so his hands wouldn't fall. And I remember he said these words. He said, I didn't know you were saved, because the last time he saw me, I was in the pit of hell. And you know, you speak things that aren't as though they are. And I look back at him and said, oh, yeah, man, yeah. And I stopped there thinking, this poor guy, what is he into? So they were praying and they were singing, and I decided not to go any further. I decided to kneel down next to him. And I said, man, I heard about what happened. Are you okay? He says, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm thinking in my corner of mind, are you kidding me? The best thing that ever happened to you? Look at you, dude. I'm walking and talking. You're in a wheelchair. You can't walk. He said, man, he says, I was on my way to hell in a handbasket. And he says, Yahweh put me in a situation. And he said, I am blessed today. This kid has a ministry now that he goes around in his wheelchair and tells people his story and then asks for money. And then he puts up billboards that we all see on the interstate from here to California that says, God is alive. These little one-liners. That's him. Drive down the interstate, you see casino, and God is alive. He is not dead. Or you'll see another little phrase. So he's telling me all these things, and I'm listening, and as I'm listening to the music, those frequencies that Steve talked about, even though I wasn't singing them, they were penetrating my soul. And then I'm listening to his testimony and still kind of wondering what's going on with my wife and why is she really doing this born-again thing. And then I remember listening to the message. And I remember he took the message, I think it was out of Colossians, and it says that we are to renew our unrenewed self. And I remember hearing it going, wow, I need help because I'm way worse than what he is. Way worse than what my wife is, and she needs a savior. She needs this Jesus they're talking about outside of the Catholic Church. And I remember when it was time for an altar call, I remember just undesiring to, but just walking up going, man, I need to get saved. And I remember my wife crying, and I remember people speaking in tongues, which I was like, come on, stop this, please. Trying to give my life to the Lord. I can't understand what you're saying. Not knowing or understanding. Not knowing and understanding. Not knowing and understanding. I'm going to go back to that. Not knowing and understanding. But someone taught them that it's okay to pray in the Holy Spirit. Someone taught them that there was something happening in that spiritual language that was penetrating my brain, and I didn't like it. And if you don't like the Holy Spirit, something needs to change. Because it changed my life that day. I remember standing there, and I remember this guy lay his hands on me. As soon as he touched my head, I was going, there's no way I'm going down. No way I'm going down. And I fell back, and these people grabbed me, and I wanted to get up so bad. And I was like this. And then I went into a kind of a panic mode going, this is not happening. This ain't supposed to happen to me, man. This is not TV. This is not Benny Hinn. This is crazy. And I remember my wife going down on her knees, and then I remember hands being all over my body. And I remember her just crying and praying. And I remember looking at that ceiling fan, and I'm going, this is, Lord, I will do anything if you just let me up. It's kind of like what we do when we met our wife or our spouse. We'll do anything because we love them. See, I didn't know that I was going to love something I couldn't see, feel, or touch. But what I did was I laid there and I said, okay, I'm just going to take it. It's going to be over soon. And then I remember people here, and I remember laying down on my back, looking on both sides. And I remember these people here, there was about three of them, all decided to let go, and they all kind of moved out of the way. And then the next thing I felt was sideways, two wheels of a wheelchair hit me. And I remember looking up through the hardware, and I remember him asking someone to untie his hand. And I remember his hand falling off the armrest and touching me. And I remember him laughing at me and said, I thought you were saved. But the love that this kid had to ask someone, I need to get up there, that's my boy. Guy used to serve me drinks. That guy, he knows me. He knows me. I need to be there for him. And I remember getting up, and I remember my life changing. And I remember several weeks later getting baptized in the Holy Spirit because I wanted that which I heard. Because I was concerned that day when I heard that message, where am I going to spend eternity? Not in the barroom. My little three-year-old, Ramey, Jeremiah was not born yet. Joshua was a toddler, 6 months old. 2 years later, now she's five. She may have been four. And Kelly calls me from a Walmart grocery store, and she said, oh, my God, I was so embarrassed. I said, what? She said, out of the blue, in front of people in the aisle, Ramey, my daughter, just starts speaking in tongues. It's got to be of the devil. It's got to be of the devil for a five-year-old to speak in tongues. It's got to be something satanic. But you know what? She was taught by her mother, and it was okay to do that in our household. This little girl had no clue. And then she grew up to be a young woman, and she won all kind of awards at 13. Camper of the year, teenage of the year, Christian, all kinds of little trophies and little ahas. She spoke in tongues. And then my wife and I missed it by about 6 months, Tammy. About 6 months before we came here, I allowed her to go to a secular university called LSU. Had I been here, I would have known that a man leaves his mother and a woman leaves her home. I left my daughter leave home without my covering and lost her for years and years and years. And they're wearing Hebrew roots, and she's just kind of like, y'all are really weird. Not really wanting to talk about it much, but still allowing us to be. And then June 11th, 2017, she and her little brother are at a camp, and Jeremiah gets electrocuted, and Kelly and I are on our way here for a graduation, and Kelly's phone goes off, and like she always does, it's Ramey, speakerphone, and when the speakerphone goes on, all we hear is a screaming young lady screaming in tongues, Yahweh Elohim. Please, please, Mom, Dad, no, Jeremiah, please, don't leave us, Jeremiah. Mom, Jeremiah got electrocuted, and she's screaming in tongues, and Kelly and I are amazed at the tongues, but devastated by the grief of what's taking place. My daughter-in-law, who's holding Jeremiah's head, begging for her husband to come back, has a moment where she goes, what am I hearing? What? I don't know where Jeremiah's heart was then. I know where his mind was. He was barefoot, no shirt, fixing to get in his boat. That's where his mind was. Didn't know where his heart was. So I don't know where he was going to spend eternity that day. But that's my first love story. And after we fall in love, we grow up and we start doing things that doesn't quite mimic what Yahweh Elohim wants us to do. We start getting our minds on other things. And then we've arrived. Then we go to concerts. We go to retreats. We go to awakenings. We go to revivals. We go to all kinds of things. And we learn all kind of knowledge. We learn all kind of incredible things. And we kind of lose our first love experience. A few weeks ago, Mark and I were talking, and Mark said, "Hey, are you ready?" I said, "Yeah, I'm ready." Got a little message about eternity, and he says, "Okay, let's plan on Saturday." Then Tuesday comes, and Hava Jean has an eternity moment, and he says, "Obviously, we're not going to. Why don't you go ahead and do it the following week?" I said, "No problem." 2 days after that, he goes, "You know what? We have Bill Cloud coming in." I said, "Okay, just put it off 1 week. We'll put it off 2 weeks." And then I have the privilege today, on the first day of Elul, Shofa team judges, to have an opportunity to share with you guys that we, at any moment, are going to have an opportunity to stand before the judge. That same judge when I had my first love, and I stood there going, "I need what you guys have. I don't understand it. I don't like tongues, but I need." It was a first love that I remember when Kelly fell in love with me and I fell in love with her. I didn't know everything about her. I just knew I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman, and I'll deal with the rest of the stuff. And obviously, you know, she's had to deal with more stuff than I had to deal with her. But with Yahweh, all things are possible. So I want to just kind of shake our bones a little bit, shake our spirit a little bit, and try to get our minds back. And I want all the young people in here, the Levi's and the Jacks and the Kobe's and the Ashers and the Morgans and Morgans and the Merritts, to please hear what I am saying. Because just because you learn from your parents at a very young age doesn't mean that your eternity is going to go well. So it all started 2 weeks after Jeremiah gets electrocuted. I go in, and we know the diagnosis. I go in to get a total knee replacement, and I come up with a total crazy diagnosis. You have leukemia. So with the journey, I'm going, "Okay, Lord, what do you..." Okay, great. I got leukemia. Now the end result is if this chromosome's been flipped, like they said it has, and my white blood cells are going cuckoo, okay, you can flip it back. But before I flip it back, he says, "I'm going to take you through a process. And through this process, I hope you come back to love me the way you did in the beginning." See, he's always working on us to go back to the beginning. He wants us back in the garden. He wants us back to our Hebrew roots. He wants us back to in the beginning when things were pure, before language became Latin and Greek and all the different. He wants to bring us back to the... So he said, "In this process, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to let your eyes see, your ears hear some things that aren't going to be pleasing. But I promise you, if you stick with me, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all these things shall be. I'll work this out for you." So the day Pastor Mark prayed for me and cried for me and laid oil on me, and everyone in this congregation prayed for me, I knew that day I was healed. But he wasn't finished. He healed me, but he said, "Guess what? You still got to go through this process." And lots of us, things happen in our life, and we don't want to try to understand the process. So where does he put me? He puts me around nothing but people. Here all my life, I'm in a salon making people beautiful and people with life. People whose minds are only on the mirror. And he puts me for 7 weeks in a place where there are 14 beds of dying people. He puts me, a healthy man, in the midst of a infusion room in Memorial Hospital where people are getting chemotherapy. 21 years old, walking on walkers with oxygen and things. And they lay down and these bags of chemicals are going into their bodies. And it was like, why do you have me here? The doctor said I wasn't going to die. He said you'll probably die of a heart attack or stroke before you die of chronic lymphatic leukemia. Remember those words? And the first thing I thought was, whew. So he says, I'm going to take you to a place where you're going to understand that these people are standing at the end of their life, fixing to face eternity. And then I think of Jay Cravette, here one day, gone the next. I think of Kathy, used to sit right there where Rachel's sitting. Tony's best friend, remember Kathy? What energy, another hairdresser. Who would have thought, diagnosed and gone? Nick. A healthy 50-year-old, healthy, wasn't diagnosed with nothing. Gone in an instant. Hava Jean, 7 years, gone in an instant. Guys, our life is but a vapor, this word says. It's but a vapor. And we need to wake up, and we need to change our focus. We need to change our focus. Yeah, I walk that walk where, oh, I'm saved, you know, pray for Volkswagen, you're going to get a Cadillac, and I'm going to live in a, you know, 3,500 square foot log home in the woods, and yes, Yahweh gave me all my dreams, but then he gets your mind going, yeah, but focus on me. Seek ye first the kingdom instead of making your own kingdom. So Mark, he's got me sitting there, and I'm looking every week. I always wanted to sit in either the first bed or the second bed because it kind of blocks you from seeing everything. And there's hundreds of people getting chemo. And I would get to see 14 different ones every week, sometimes the same. And I hated it when they sat me in number 9 because number 9 gave you a panoramic view of every situation. And the majority of the time, I'd walk in. And it became a joke to me in Yahweh Elohim where, okay, Mr. Morgan, number 9. Okay, Lord. Show me what you want to show me. Teach me what you want to teach me. We have little screens up there. You got headphones that you can put on. And I noticed nobody was using the headphones. Nobody was interested in the TV. I was. Fox Sports 1 is on at this time. I go to Infusion at 2 o'clock every day, and I knew that there was some cool ESPN programs. I remember putting the TV on, and I remember putting my earphones on. I'm going to get comfortable for this hour and a half. And I remember laying there, slipping the chair back and laying up. They're draining blood on this side, and they're giving me drip on this side. And wow, they give me a little chocolate boost, and I'm going, wow. And then Yahweh says, look around. Look around. None of them were watching TV because it wasn't important. I don't know who they were spiritually. I don't know who they were. I don't know where their minds were. But I know their minds weren't on TV. I know their minds at that moment were on, I have a problem. Took the earphones off, put them down, turned off the TV, and I looked around. And I said, these people are dying, oh, Lord. He said, yeah. I said, and you can heal them. He said, yeah. Just like you've healed me. Speaking things that aren't as though they are. Just like you've healed me. What can I do? He said, fall in love with me again. Fall in love with me again. You remember that Jesus that you fell in love with that day? Now you're calling me by my real name. And I really do appreciate it. But just because you're calling me by my real name, I don't feel the love. I truly don't feel that you love me the way you did when you did. These people were at the end of their rope. And I was sharing this with BJ. And I said, you know, BJ, I said, if I walked around that room and I just asked everybody, do you have a relationship with Yeshua? Probably 99% of them. Because I didn't see any turbans. I didn't see any kind of Muslim. I saw a lot of crosses. I saw a lot of them reading the Bible. I didn't bring my Bible. My son inspired me a couple of weeks ago when he taught, and he opened up this thing called a Bible. And I've been using my laptop just like Jeremiah was talking about. And it ministered to me so much. And I go, wow, paper? Yeah, wow. And I remember these people having their paper. And I remember you and I talking. And I said, I wonder if I went around the room. And he said, you know, Mark, he says, they would have all said yes. And I said, I agree, 100%. And he said, you know what? The sad thing is, I said, what, BJ? He said, and I'll never forget those words. And I'll never forget the example. And if you don't mind, I'd like for you to share that in just a second real quick so that they can get the mentality that you gave me that day. He said, you know what? If you asked the same 14 people outside of that building, where would you spend eternity? Probably 99% of them would say, oh, I'm a good guy. BJ, come up here. I want them to see this. So BJ says, hey, Mark, let me share something with you. Okay? Well, stand right there. Yeah, go ahead.
75% of people in America label themselves as Christians. We know that term. We're just followers of Yeshua. 75% label themselves as Christians because they think they believe in God or believe in God, and they have a cross around their neck. They do not have a true relationship. Also, 151,600 people die every 24 hours. That's not a scare tactic. That's just reality that we have to look at.
Amazing.
Did y'all hear me? Oh. Anyways, 151,600 people die every 24 hours. And I don't know if you heard the last little thing I said, that 75% of people out there on the street, even in the churches, proclaim they are a Christian, and we know that term, a follower of Yeshua, that we call them ourselves, just because they first have a cross around their neck and they believe in God. Even the devils believe, right? Anyways.
Go ahead, brother.
Anyhow.
Okay, so I'm at a Christian concert, okay, and I am just praising to King and Country, and the concert's over, and I'm walking out, and I run into this guy, okay? Like that beard, dude. Yeah.
Hey, sir, did you get one of these?
No. Are you serious? $1,000.
Well, I don't spend it all in one place.
So. Wow.
So, it's a million-dollar question on the back of it. Wow. It has a great message. It's a message of hope. It changed my life. It can change yours as well. The million-dollar question is, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Mark.
BJ, pleasure to meet you.
Man, it's a pleasure.
Anyways, the million-dollar question is, Mark, if you died right now, where would you spend eternity?
Look, man, heaven, man, I mean, I have no doubt I would spend the rest of my life in heaven. I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. Yeah. I don't smoke, I don't drink. I don't curse anymore. When I got saved, I don't curse anymore. Why?
Well, do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
What is your definition of good?
Like I said, I don't smoke, I don't drink. I try to take care of the poor, the homeless. If somebody needs help, I'll give them a dollar or two. Or, you know,
Well, Yeshua said there's only one but good, and that's the Father. Mind if I ask you a few more questions just to see how good you really are, just to test you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
What I'm going to do, Mark, is you've heard of the Ten Commandments, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Ten Commandments is the 10 words, 10 things, 10 statements of God. Okay. It's his DNA, his nature, his character, his pedigree, and his identity. It reveals who he really is. It's a standard that we all live by and should live by, and we're going to be judged by. So I'm going to ask you a few questions just to see if that's true about yourself, just how really good you are. Okay.
Okay. All right.
You ever told a lie before, Mark? No matter how.
Yeah, you told a lie? I told a lie.
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar?
That's right. Okay. Well, Mark, the next question I want to ask you, have you ever stole anything? You ever took anything that didn't belong to you, no matter how big or small? Don't lie to me now, because you just told me a while ago you lied. What do you call someone who steals?
I've stolen before, but you know, I mean, it's just like I stole my buddy's cell phone one time just to put something funny on it.
How many people do I got to kill to become a murderer? Kill one person to become a murderer, or 10 people?
Just one.
Okay. So, what do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Okay. All right. Then this is the one that got me. Okay, and it gets everybody out there. Yeshua said, if a man or a woman looks at the other with lust, they've already committed
adultery. Come on, man, really?
Have you ever painted a picture of that type of thing in your mind ever?
Yeah, I've done that. Okay. I've done
that. Guilty of that as well. I think a lot of you are out there guilty as well. But anyhow, Mark, by your admission, you're admitting to me, I'm not the judge here. I just told you the Ten Commandments is his standard. His standard's here, and our standard's here. By your own admission, you're admitting that you're a lying, thief, and adulteress at heart. And if you stood before God right now, according to that standard, would you be innocent or guilty?
Yeah, you can have this back, man. I got you. I understand.
Let me say one more thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal through Yeshua the Messiah. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it's once appointed for man to die and then judgment. You are going to be judged. But there's good news. There's great, great news. There's a great message on the back of this, and you need to take this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth trust in him and put their whole trust and him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not his will for you to perish, Mark.
Appreciate it.
You got to trust him, not just be sorry for your sins, but you got to turn and return and truly repent from here. So, like to me, you might have a heart condition. If you need some discipling, I'd be willing to answer any question you may have.
Man, can I get your phone number, man?
I don't have one. That's just kidding. Yeah.
All right. Well, while I hugged you, man, let me give you back your phone. No, just kidding.
That only happens in New Orleans.
Hallelujah. BJ, thank you so much, man. It makes sense. It truly makes sense. And I'm sitting there in that infusion room, and I'm going, wow, man, I'm a liar. I'm an adulterer. I'm a thief. I'm a murderer because I've murdered people's reputations. I'm a hypocrite. I've talked about people. I've tried to bring cheerleaders in with me. And I would use the old phrase, hey, man, we need to pray for so-and-so. You mind praying with me? And then just spill the beans. Come on, really? That was just me being a murderer. You know, if we had a sign right here that said hell, and we had a sign right here that said heaven, this distance, if I asked any person on the face of the earth, give me two people that you think, whether alive or dead, two people that you know is going to hell. Two. Just give me two. Anybody. Who? Hitler. Hitler. Excellent. Excellent. So how close to hell do you think Hitler would be before he actually dropped? How close to hell? Like, if that's the sign right here? No, he'd be what? Maybe right here? He'd be right here, right? No distance between him and the sun. Would you agree? Okay, all right. Give me somebody who's not quite as bad as Hitler. Just give me somebody. Corrie Ten Boom. Okay, Corrie Ten Boom. The good, good. Would you put Corrie Ten Boom right there with Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa, beautiful little blue nun dress. Woman gave her life to the poor. How close to that heaven sign would she be? She'd be almost, you'd have to hold her back. Okay? Let's use somebody. Can I throw this out there? Maybe, I'm talking about not the way we judge. I'm talking about the way the world judges. Oprah Winfrey. I didn't say the way we judge. I'm talking about everybody who watches TV loves Oprah. Don't shake your head. That's you judging. Be with me, please. Okay? I agree with you. But let's be honest here. Let's be honest. Her compared to Hitler is a big difference. Let's truly be honest. Okay? In the world's eyes, you can't even put her and Hitler in the same category. So let's put Oprah somewhere about where? Maybe about right here, maybe? Okay? But you know what? No matter where they are, or where they are, or how far away he is, there's hope. See, there's still hope for me in spite of me being saved. There's still hope for me to get ready for what this day means. We have 30 days and then we have 10 more days. That's how gracious he is. Of awe. We have 30 days to renew our mind, to investigate ourselves and go, what do I need to do to change? What do I need to do for my attorney, Yeshua HaMashiach, to step in before the judge and say, I got this. Why do I have this? Because I know this guy very well. And I am willing to stand in the gap for him. We have an opportunity today in our carnal mind to make a decision. Because you know what happens in 30 days? Pastor Marks gives everybody, no choice, gives everybody in here a piece of paper with what on it? 40 days. 40 days. What's on the? All vows. Repenting. Situational repentance. Because, you know, sometimes we don't want to admit to some of the stuff on there because it's not even in our register. But that piece of paper jogs our memory. Hello? It jogs our memory. We were talking about accountability. You know, it's hard for me to be accountable to you and you accountable to me because we live so far apart. I don't have use of your phone. I'm not in your home. But it helps when you have two sons and two daughter-in-laws and a wife that literally live close to you who hold you accountable. It's hard to get away with stuff. And when you try, they catch you. Or I got a text the other day at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and it from Jeremiah, it said, Dad, slow down in the driveway, please. Because he's thinking that there's seven grandbabies running around here. And we all got told the story of that sweet lady who rolled over her neighbor's baby. And then Jeremiah and Pastor Mark spend several hours with Hava Jean, a seven-year-old, and Jeremiah's mind is on, Dad, slow down. It's called accountability. And the first thing I think of immediately was, oh, you're watching me? Yeah. Yeah. I'm my brother's keeper. Yeah, I'm watching you. I'm watching you because your behavior changes things around here. Your behavior in a second can change life or death situations. Dad, slow down. So not all of us have true brothers and sisters living with you. Kelly and I are contemplating moving to Loosedale, which means we would move out of that, what do we call, family accountability. You can't get more accountable than your kids, who are grown adults, who know better, who call you out because it's the truth. So we're going to lose that unbelievable gift of accountability. So Kelly and I are thinking, what do we need to do? Well, I guess if we're going to move to Lucedale, we're going to have to move between Tammy and Steve Hostetler. What better brother and sister to move next to than who can keep us accountable, see our every coming and going. So who are you surrounding yourself with accountable-wise? Who are you putting in on your team that you can say, truly hold me accountable to this? And who do you allow to speak into your life the truth? Because it's easy for someone you love to speak the truth, but someone that you don't love speaks the truth and you get offended. Who are you to tell me that? Well, according to 5 minutes ago, I'm an adulterer, cheater, sinner, who need the same Yeshua HaMashiach that you have as your Lord and Savior. And I'm just sharing with you what he would want us to do and what you would do if I was in your situation. So I got to tell my brothers and my sisters, where's Brian, our guards, or Caleb? I want to share this, and I want everybody in here to hear this. There's many times that I'm here, H-E-R-E, that I'm here, but at the same time, I don't hear, H-E-A-R. I'm here to tell you, when we have the gift to assemble and to hear our covering speak into our lives, while we are H-E-R-E, let's be sure that we can H-E-A-R. Let's make sure that we're not consumed with what's the next music we're going to play. Let's make sure we're not consumed with a baby or a cell phone that's going off. Let's make sure that we are focused on the kingdom, because it's only changing our focus that's going to allow us to have a great what? Eternity. Eternity. In Luke 13, 18, they said, what is the kingdom of heaven like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? And you know what he says? He gives two examples. I thought it was really cool. He said, it's like a mustard seed. We all know what a mustard seed is. We learn. We can't mix it with nothing. He said, it's like a mustard seed. It's the littlest seed. And when you plant it, it grows to be a nice, big tree / bush. And the word says in that scripture that, and it calls the birds to what? Nest. It's like, if the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, which doesn't mix with anything, it's going to call the nations to dwell. And it's not compared to its size, it's huge. A mustard seed, they say, the bush or the tree grows to about 12 feet. So to give you an idea, I'm about 6'5". And there's a kind of, you see, 12 feet is, it's pretty big, and it calls the birds to nest. Then a few sentences lower in Luke 13:10, they ask again, they say, no, we don't get that. Please tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He said, it's like the yeast that you put in the dough. Just takes a little bit, and then it expands all over the earth. The kingdom is his word. The kingdom of his truth. The kingdom is his righteousness. And it just takes a little bit to put in that lump, and it grows into the size of the earth, calling the nations. So I read that, and I'm going, wow. In Luke 13, 22 through 25, it talks about what we're fixing to go through in 40 days. He says, when the judges come, it's like the man who, at the end of the day, as darkness comes, he locks the door. And the Bible said, and he doesn't let anyone in. Now, we got to go back to back then, Mark. Back then, they didn't have electricity. They had a little candles or lanterns, and they didn't have little locks and keys or little slips. They had, from what I understand, they had those big boards that you put on top. And when they locked, they locked up pretty good. Because back then, Thieves were all over. It was a wretched time. So when they locked it down, they locked it down. There was no nightlife. There was no partying except for those who were homeless and who were thieves and murderers. So when they locked it down, they locked it down. And if you read the Bible, it says that we're going to come and we're going to knock. And he's not going to let us in. And it says in that passage, when they knocked, or anyone knocked, the owner of the house can't let you in. I don't know you. I don't know you. Looks through that little peephole, Terry, and says, well, maybe I recognize him. No, I don't recognize him. Wow. Sorry, can't let you in. It's too late. Maybe if during the day, daylight, maybe if we spent some time together and I got to know you, lock the door. It's Luke 13, 22 and 25. And verse 26, it says, we always use that yeah, but when we're saved. Once saved, always saved. I can go with the yeah, but thing. Yeah, but I listened to your teachings. I sat at your feet. I was in the streets when you were healing people. I know you. And he says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, lawlessness. I never knew you. I don't know you. We ate with you. We drank with you. We heard your teachings. Being in someone's presence and to try to know them, or being in their presence trying to be known by them. When I read that, I was like, wow. And Luke 13, 28 goes on to say, and you know what it's going to be like when they're not allowed in? There's going to be weeping. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. It's going to be havoc and panic. But if you only knew me, if I only knew you. See, when I was a Catholic, I knew him. I knew of him. I knew all the things that were about him. But he never knew me. It wasn't until I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, that day that I had my first love and said, you know what? It's time. Are we at a place, and I'm asking you this in all sincerity, are we at a place where we can say these words? And there's some of the words that while I was sitting there watching all of these dying people, I remember one of the girls, nurses, being finished with one of them and took a Bible and stuck it up on top of the thing, and I just said, hey, can I have that? And I started going through it. And one of my favorite were when Paul talks to Timothy and encourages him, just like you encourage us to do today. Fight the good fight. You know? And then I read on and I went, wow, am I ready? Am I ready to here this guy is fixing to pass the baton onto a young kid that he remembers growing up. And he says these words. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous, here it is, Tammy, it says, judge, will award to me on that day, not only me, but also all who have loved his appearing. Am I at a point? Are you at a point? And I'm asking you this day, we can start nipping this in the bud today, so that when we get to the end of that 40 days and you give us that piece of paper, you can say, check, 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 check. Because I'm just telling you, me, if there are 60 things on that, 60 things, I was sharing this with my wife, I cover them all, and I stop doing every one of those 60 things for about 10 days after those 40 days, and then slow fade. Then the following year, 360 days later, out of those 60 things, I still have to repent over 52 of them. And then I get better. Then 360 days after that, I go back and I read the same thing, and now I'm down to 49 of them. I've only been able to conquer 3-4 per year. Am I the only one who does that? We have an opportunity today without being, I want to say the word, not forced, because he never forces us to do anything, but he just wants everybody to be in a cot and goes, hey, I want everybody to come up. And I want to, I want everybody today to have an opportunity to go, you know what? I'm going to start today. If you got a spouse, say, you know what, honey? Let's do this together. You don't have to tell me what's going on. I don't need to hear it. There's a few things I need to share with you. If you've got a friend, Coleman, Torrington, if you got a friend, yeah, we can grapple together, we can hang out together, we can laugh together, but can we truly speak into each other's life and tell him, hey, Coleman, it's time for you to step up, brother. I need help. I'm dealing with this, this, and this, and I'm going to give you access to my whatever so that you can make sure I don't ever go there again, and vice versa. Chance, Levi, whoever it is that you can tie with and say, you know what? I need somebody to help me because next year I want to defeat this page. I want to be a better person to those people. And you know who you are. I want to be a better person to those people who I'm not a better person to. Give me an opportunity. Like Jeremiah said, see the goodness in me and help me love you unconditionally. Ben, what did you say the other day when we were talking? You said, because I was always trying to change people. What was that? What was that? I know you're not going to say anything because you're shy. Something about just changing, maybe instead of focusing on the problem isn't always the way you're going to change things. Maybe just reading the word more, like we talked about. Getting in the word more, praying more will change things instead of nursing and rehearsing all the challenges you have with that person. Maybe, Mark, you need to get in the word a little bit more, and your attitude will change. See, I have an attitude to change towards people that I chose to verbally murder. I have an opportunity today, and I'm going to be the first one up here saying, help me be a better friend, a better person. Even if I'm not your friend, I've never talked to you in your life, help me get into this person's life. Let me see what I can do. Ralph, you ministered to me like no tomorrow when you shared with me this week. Mark, I've got to change, man. I've got to do things different. I've got to love people that I chose not to love. I got to like people that I chose not to like. I've got to do what Yeshua would do, man. I've got to serve. And I went, Ralph, are you reading my mail? Are you kidding me? Remember that? Like, are you kidding me? Really? That's what he's dealing with you this week? Today is the first day of judges. Tomorrow is. Tonight. A new moon. Yeah. New moon. Once we hit that new moon, boom, it's the beginning of those 40 days. We have an opportunity today to recognize and examine who we really are. Matthew 7 and 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many, many miracles? And then I will declare to them, never knew you, depart from me, you practice of lawlessness. That was in Matthew. The other one was in Luke. And then comes Revelation. That scripture that you shared, I don't need to talk about it. No need to go over it again, but it's exactly what I have. I have pinked out in this paper thing we call Bible. It says here in 8:3-8, it says, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put you before you an open door, which no one can shut because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. I've got it right here, 3:8. Yahweh Elohim is so proficient. This would not have been relevant if we would have taught it 3 weeks ago. He says, no. I'm going to give you one more experience. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to see. And he chose such a precious little girl to give us the opportunity. That little girl's life at 7 years old was taken from us that we may process it and go, life is short, man. 7 to 70. Where do I fit in? Some of you haven't been diagnosed yet, but you are broken and dying. Little Yoshi's walking around with a what? a visible wound. Some of us are walking around, we can't see your wounds. It's time today to give them to the King. It's time to quit fighting with those wounds. It's time to quit putting salve on those wounds. At 15, it says, I know your deeds, and you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And then he says in 22, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Shema. I'm not going to end with this, but this is towards the end. And I'm going to just ask you to bear with me. But just for example's sake, this is a timeline of our life. This little rope here has a little red area on it, which indicates our time here on earth. It's got a bunch of little lines here, Mark. And these little lines represent little milestones on things that we've created, things that we've bought, things that we've done, things that we've achieved, whether it be diplomas or whether it be medals or trophies or marriages, some 3 and 4, some 1. And it's really sad to say how much focus we put on just this little bit of time here. You know, if I could just do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, then right at the end, my life is going to be great. You know, if I can just achieve all of these things and get that done right there, then I'm good. I'm good. Now I can live my life. All these mistakes I made, all these incredible people, all of it. We stay focused on this little bitty part that we call I am alive. And sometimes we put our Christian Dior on and come to church and say, it is well with my soul. When it's really not. Because someday we're going to face eternity. It goes and 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 it goes. I can keep walking. I can walk out that door. I can walk to Jack's. I can go to 26. I could go down 63. I can hit I-10 and I can go all the way to California. And then I could get on a boat and go around, and it'll never, ever, ever, ever stop. Eternity is forever. Forever. There's going to be 24 elders, man, casting their crowns to the throne. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Eddie, do you have that picture up there? My dad gave me a holy picture when I was a kid, and I didn't bring it because it had Mary on it. But it had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's my brother's names, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Catholic Church depicted Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with the four beasts, the ox, the bull, the lion, and the face of a man. And the Bible says, when we're finished, we're going to get to this little point here, and we're going to be standing on a cusp, hoping we got all this right. Pleading our case, standing before a righteous judge. It was only one place in the Bible where God, in the Spirit, because he said, John writes in the book of Revelation that, Leah, there was another door that opened. Chapter 4, it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. I'm going to show you what's going to take place. After that we're so worried about, we're so focused on. Guys, I'm talking about me, man. You got to stand before dead people before God opens up your mind and go, Mark, what are you doing? Playing church every week? You liar, you thief, you adulterer. What are you doing, man? So that's why I'm here, God. That's why I'm here. Trying to teach me a lesson. Yes. Wake up, man. I've spared you. I've diagnosed you with something that the world calls, but you know what? I'm going to make you believe what you want to believe to get you where I want to get you, man. Change your focus. Look at eternity forever. So he invites John up. He invites John up and he says, come up here and I will show you what must take place after all these things. And immediately I was in the spirit, John says. So I know he wasn't personally walked in and went, wow, check this out. In the spirit. He said, immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne was standing in heaven and sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper, stone, and sardius. Hebrew sardius means like red blood, sacrifice. Red in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne, there were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. Out from the thrones came flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne and seven spirits of Yah. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center, all around the throne, were four living creatures, eyes in front and behind them. The first creature was like a lion. The second creature was like a calf, and the third creature had the face of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one having six wings, are full of eyes around them, in their wings and out. And day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and glory and honor and power is he. And then the 24 elders pull off their crowns and cast their crowns and bow down before him. Let me tell you something, guys. If you don't like praise and worship, then you better go home. This Bible says, whether you like it or not, and if you're sitting here and you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one in true Yah, the Prince of Peace. If you believe in that same one that I believe in, he says to praise me by lifting holy hands. And you come in here with your problems, with your hands folded, barely reading what's on there, and you insult him with your arrogance, with your ego. I've got something to praise him for. He kept me out of the fire, man. And he's teaching me and giving me opportunity to process my ignorant mind to righteousness and to focus on eternity and quit focusing on what is here. Guys, we need to wake up, man. We need to wake up. We in many cases are the only epistle people hear. We're the only good news people hear. And sometimes we don't speak, we just have to be. We might be the only one that they see. What are they looking at? What do they see? I thank Yahweh so many times, Mark and Tammy, when y'all came to me and counseled me and said, you might want to consider this. You might want to change your focus from that to this. was just one of the processes I was going through. And then sometimes I don't always get it. I'm stubborn. I was just like that around Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. My dad said, boy, I tore your butt up so much because you were so hard-headed. And guess what? I don't want to be hard-headed anymore. All right, I'm sitting before these dying people in an infusion room. I got it. He said, now tell the world. Tell the world. And then Hava Jean leaves us so innocently because he chose, our sovereign Lord chose, you're good. You're good. Yes, I'm going to miss my sons. I'm going to miss my wife. I'm going to miss my grandbabies, but I can't wait till he says, you're good. You're good, man. Don't suffer anymore. You're good. Take me through what I need to take through because I want to stand. I want to stand. And I want to have all this behind me. I want this stuff to go away. And I want to stand there. And I want to see the 24 elders. I want to hear the praise and worship. I want to lift my hands like I've been practicing for 30 years and just praise him because I have something to be praising. Not because he took care of my son. Not because he gave me 10 great grandbabies, a beautiful wife. I'm going to praise him because he took care of me. He took care of me, man. He calls me friend. He calls me friend. He calls me friend. He calls me friend. He says, go on, man. I prepared a place for you. The Bible says that these same people had an opportunity to look in and they saw the table. They saw the table. They were gnashing their teeth saying, what could I have done different? Listen. Listen to those people who are trying to correct the little bitty mistakes that we made. Dodia, when you came to me that day, 3 years ago, and you walked up to me, you said, I'm praying for you, man. You just need to stop it. Remember that? Okay. Gotcha. God put me on her heart to come to me and have in the flesh the audacity. Or in the spirit, the courage to say, enough. That's all I needed to hear. I heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim through a sister, not a coach, not one of my boys. I'm gonna play a song in just a second. That was first recorded in 1995 that meant so much to me. And it was a song that allowed me to rededicate my life to the Lord. I think I've rededicated my life maybe in the last 38 years, probably 12, 15 times. I've rededicated my life. I'm tired of rededicating. I'm tired of those moments. But it's a song by a young lady named Crystal Lewis. Some of us may remember it. It's called Come Just As You Are. And I'm going to play that song and I'm going to give everyone here an opportunity to get a jump start on this next 40 days. And if anything that you heard today permeates your heart and there's something or someone in this room that you need to make amends with, or there's something that you need to come and kneel before this throne and say, will you call me friend? Eddie, can you put that other picture up? Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. When my wife was called into that doctor's office and I wasn't there, and they said, something wrong with your husband's blood. He has cancer. We know that's true. It's definite. And I'll never forget the doctor saying, it is the C word. It is a car. We don't know what model and make it is yet. That was a storm that came to clear our path. Oh, it was a storm. The day Jeremiah laid in that mud puddle, my son-in-law working on him, Tiffany screaming out to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, my daughter speaking in tongues. It was a storm. Cleared our path. The Merwins aren't finished going through a process yet. They're going to be able to stand up here and they're going to be able to share some significant things that Yahweh is telling them. And it may come from one of the daughters, it may come from Steve, but it's going to be a word that they learned in the process. Do you want your path clean today? Do you want your path opened up so that you can go and stand before the judge and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I've been waiting for you." Somewhere between wakefulness and dreams, I was in a frenzy the night Jeremiah got electrocuted. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't have mustard seed faith. And Kelly and I weren't even told about what mustard seed faith was. But I met a woman that I've been married to for 35 years. I met a woman for the first time that night that ministered to me faith. Eddie, it was right after you sent that music. "He's all we need. He's all I need." And I'm laying there. And I said, "Kelly, you want to listen to the song?" She said, "No." She was lowing and moaning. The bed was vibrating. And her back was to me. And all I could hear was without any disrespect, almost a man's voice. She was lowing. "Oh, don't take my baby. Don't take my baby. Don't take my baby." And I'm begging him, "Give me the words to say. Give me the words to say, Mr. Motivator. Mr. I can handle it. Give me the words to say. Let me minister to her." Didn't say a prayer. He was just asking. And without hearing from Yahweh, without hearing from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I spoke. I spoke some intelligent words. I said, "Kel, do you realize how many mothers are crying just like you for a heart, for a liver, for a kidney, for a spleen, for lungs? We heard the doctors. They ultrasound every one of them and they said, 'Oh my goodness, this is some good stuff.' Do you realize that as a mother crying out just like you, and we're going to have more children, we're going to have more families. You realize the people we can minister the word to with his death?" Wasn't the right words to say. Don't ever say what God didn't tell you to say to a woman of faith, to a woman who has a child, her baby. It was her baby. It wasn't 28-year-old Jeremiah. It was her baby, man. It was her baby. She said, "Don't take my baby." She jumped out of that bed and she hit the bed and she says, "Who are you? Who am I married to? Are you kidding me? Don't you ever talk like that. He's going to save my baby." I'm like, "Oh, wow, I missed it. I missed it." We usually like to touch feet when we're in bed, and or I touch her shoulder, and she just couldn't believe who she was laying next to. A man without faith. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised how much more time we have on this earth. But we all promise this day that we have an opportunity to cleanse our minds and come here and say, I want to be called friend. Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I just ask you, Heavenly Father, to touch every person in here, husband and wives, young men, young women. And I just ask you, Heavenly Father, to allow them to have the courage, the faith, the strength to come before you right now. If you've never accepted Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, if you're sitting there right now and you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you need to know today that when I stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I won't be asked why I wasn't somebody else, but I'm going to be asked, why didn't you take that opportunity?